Okay. Hello, Hebra. This is David Chaim, a gratefully recovering sexaholic, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker, Rabbi Foyer. Rabbi Foyer, I consider not only a rabbi of mine, but a friend and a real ally, a real to me and my work in the program. And he has what to offer, for sure. Rabbi Foyer is best known as a prolific writer, written many books for Art Scroll. You're familiar with them, on Tehillim, etc., and others. Plus, he is a Talmid of Rabbi Mordechai Gifter and son-in-law of Rabbi Gifter. And without further ado, without further ado, I want to remind everybody that we'll save questions for the end. We'll also turn off the recording at that point in time so you can ask any question you'd like of Rabbi Foyer. Rabbi Foyer will be speaking on a timely subject, timely for a number of reasons, timely because in this upcoming Parsha we'll be talking about Yosef HaTzadik, and Rabbi Foyer will be also, it's also timely because the entire story about Yosef is one where we sexaholics can all learn from. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Rabbi Foyer.
Thank you very much, Kaya. Good evening, Chevra. Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Avraham Chaim Foyer. I live in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, where I'm a neighbor to our dear, dear leader, our fearless leader of Duvid Chaim. And I am just amazed at his total dedication to the subject of Kedusha. And every night, four nights a week it is, he gives an hour and more and has six phone calls. It's quite impressive what David Chaim is doing for the world. And so when he asked me if I would share a thought or two with you fine gentlemen, it was my, how can I not get involved over here? As my privilege and my schus, and I'm very excited. So, as you know, this week's parasha is the parasha of Kedusha. This is the parasha of Kedusha Deinayim. From Yehuda alone, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, we could glean many, 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 many lessons. But it's important to focus. So I'm going to focus on the second theme of the parasha, which is Yosef HaTzadik. And the title is Yosef Triumph Over Temptation. How did this abandoned and rejected teenager, sold by his family, rejected, how did he pull it off that he did not succumb to the tremendous temptation of Eishes Potiphar? By the way, I think her name is in the Medrash Zuleicha, not a very pretty name for this woman, but she was gorgeous, very attractive, very, 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 very tempting. And the Medrash gives us a tremendous mushel about Eishes Potiphar and Yosef's relationship with her. This is just by way of introduction. The Medrash says here in Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Pei Vav, Osei, that what does it mean? So Reb Rechia says that we can compare Yosef and Eishes Potiphar to a Gevar Kapuz, which means once upon a time there was a man in the street who had a bear. And the bear was really a wild bear. But the man, he actually encrusted his bear in diamonds and rubies and sapphires from head to toe in the most amazing, exquisite, gorgeous, precious stones. And the man stood in the marketplace, and he said, whoever jumps on my bear and will dance with the bear and hug the bear, he can take any stone he wants. He can take all the stones he wants. Just take and take and take. But you got to jump on the bear and give it a big hug, a big embrace, a big dance. So everyone was saying, wow, this is and there was a very wise man there, and he somehow was standing to the side, and he wasn't doing it. He wasn't about to jump on the bear. They said, why aren't you jumping? What an opportunity. Get all the jewels. He says, you gentlemen are looking at the jewels. I'm looking at the bear's teeth, the bear's fangs. They are horrendous. They're huge. I'm looking at the bear's claws. They're also huge and sharp, and I know I look beneath the surface of the stones and the diamonds and the rubies. I see this a super dangerous bear. It can rip me apart if I get too close, get further away. So to Eishes Potiphar, very tempting, super tempting. It's the most beautiful woman in Egypt, maybe in the world. and she is actually going over to Yosef HaTzadik and begging him. She says, the master, his master's wife, his life is in her hands, and she's begging him and tempting him and wearing different clothing every single day for a year, different clothing, different outfits, one more seductive than the next. And she's begging Yosef, just jump on me, just embrace me and be with me. And Yosef says, no, how can he not? He's not even 18 years old yet. The answer is because Yosef saw her fangs and he saw her claws, and he knew that if he's going to get close to this lady and do what she wants, he is dead. It looks good from the outside, but on the inside, it's destructive. She's a trap. She's poison. She's actually poison. But the question is, why did Yosef see through this? And most people would not. I venture that I wouldn't be able to see through this. I'm not sure about you guys, but how could you control yourself? How could a youngster all alone, betrayed by his entire family, he had no loyalty to anything, to a legacy, it would seem. And yet, Yosef did manage to muster up the power not to give in to her, not to succumb. And the answer, my dear friends, is that Yosef Taka had a tremendous sense of leadership and responsibility to God, to the Jewish people, and to history, and to his own family for the future, forever and ever. His dream in this week's Parsha, the second dream was, everyone's bowing down to him. The sun, the moon, the stars, Yosef is there, like a king, everyone's bowing down to him. Was he bragging? Was he trying to show off? No. Yosef was telling his brothers, listen, I'm a serious person. Our father, Yaakov, he put me in charge to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, to be the moral compass of Klal Yisrael. Avram was the moral compass, Arzeda, Yitzchak, Yaakov, our father, and he gave me over. I'm his Ben Zakunim. He gave me over everything he had learned in Yeshiva Shein Vever, which is not just a legacy of some divrei Torah. That means that he learned leadership from them, responsibility to the entire world, that what we do has a cosmic ripple effect. I cannot possibly let down my grandfather, my great-grandfather. And so, it says in the Torah, this is Parsha Perek Lamates, V'yachar Dvar Me'ela, V'tis Eishas Adonov Eseinel, Yosef's mistress, turns her eyes to Yosef and says, Tzimshichvoy, Milay with me, V'yimo'ein. And you'll notice Yimo'ein, Yud Mem Aleph Nun, it's amazing. Gemachi is, he refused, the Gemachi is 101. Because I'll say, whenever you want to embed something in your brain, you study it 101 times. Yosef repeated this 101 times, again and again and again, no. And he says to the wife of his master, he says, Hey na doni lo yada itima babayas, you know, I'm so successful here in a very short time that my master, your husband, doesn't know about anything in the house. The Kalashi Yeshla Nasim Yadi gave everything over to my hands. And then Godal Babai says, I mean, there's no one bigger than me in this house. Lo Chasach Mimeni Mu'um, he didn't hold back anything. Kimosach. Basherat Ishto. The only thing that's not in my hands is you, you're his wife. Veich Ese Haro HaGedola HaZos V'Chatosi L'Elohim. How can I do such a tremendous sin, such a betrayal to my master, and I will sin to God? And actually, the first thing he should have said, V'chatanu l'Elohim, we will sin to God. Why is he V'chatasi? The answer is he didn't want to put her in the same mouth as his own. He had no shaykhus to her. He wouldn't have said V'chatanu, we will sin. That means he's talking about them together. He didn't want to even envision them together. So Yosef actually was not just speaking about his master, Mr. Potiphar, Minister Potiphar. Really, he's referring to God. God is ultimate master. God puts control over the entire world in our hands. Every one of us is a leader. We're leaders, number one, over ourselves, over our communities, over Klal Yisrael, over our past, our families. And all of the future is in our hands. Every decision we make has a cosmic effect. And Yosef is saying, God, my master, gave over everything in the house and this world to me. I have power over the entire world. My reach is amazing. And since no one's bigger than me in this world, nothing, God held nothing back from me. A person wants to say, Chayav Adam Lomer Bishvili Nevroilam. A man just say the world was made for me, which is true. Every one of us has tremendous potential. How can I betray God Almighty, who gave birth to me and made me in his image, in his tselem? That gives me such a power, such a grasp. My web is spread all over. How can I betray Almighty God, my Father, my Creator? No way. I can't do it. So Av Yosef's tremendous sense of responsibility to God and to history, it was unthinkable for him to do this. Now, this sound might sound lofty. This might sound like, wow, I'm just a simple guy. But it's not true. That's what a Jew is supposed to think. A Jew is different. A Jew is a special thing. A Jew has a tremendous sense of who we are and who we come from, and we are royalty. We're Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. We're a nation of priests. Every one of us is a priest to serve God. And a holy nation, we're a holy nation. Holy means hands off. We don't get our hands too deeply involved in this world. First thing we do in the morning is we wash our hands and feel the dime said that my purpose in the whole day is to wash my hands of this world. Jewish success, the outside world success is measured by how much you take from the world. In the Jewish value system, success is how little you take out of the world and still manage to get through life. That's success, how little you take from this world, not how much you take from this world. Because we're saving our appetite for the next world, where there's a real meal. And the more we eat and take of this world, we'll lose our appetite for the next world and won't be worthy of sitting in that great banquet. Like the two fellows, Reuven and Shimon, were a shmorg at a very expensive chasna, elaborate. And Reuven is stuffing himself. And Shimon is eating almost nothing. He's sipping some ginger ale. And Reuven says, Shimon, why aren't you? This is the most amazing shmorg what you ever saw. How come you're not taking? Come on. Fill up your plate. Reuven's plate is filled. He has two plates, three plates. And the waiters are going around bringing more stuff. Come on. So Shimon said, Reuven, my dear friend, were you invited to the meal? Or you just invited? Or he says, well, actually, I was just invited for the shmorg and the wedding ceremony, and that's it. So Shimon says, that's great. Enjoy. But I was invited for the entire meal. And I know that there's a world-class chef over here who's preparing a 10-course dinner, the likes of which you and I have never seen. So I cannot, why would I stuff myself at the shmorg? I know it's good stuff, but it's still Franks and Jackets and chopped liver and just the regular stuff. I'm saving my appetite for the really, really, really amazing event. So I can wait another hour till the meal starts. Then it's going to be the most exquisite, extraordinary experience. And that's what Kiddush is all about. Kiddush is hands off of this world. I take the minimum for this world. So I shouldn't ruin my appetite for the next world. I shouldn't become a glutton, a material glutton of this world. And not only that, prepare myself more for that. I'm worthy of more and more courses in the world to come because I didn't take from this world. That was Yosef's thinking. And this is how a real Jew thinks. We're invited, God's inviting us to that tremendous banquet, Lasad Lavoi, and I have no time for this world. And I'm not going to ruin it in this world. And reminds me of the Medrash. The Medrash says that Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi, he was invited to a suda, a goy. His goyish neighbor made an enormous suda, made a banquet. And this banquet, the goy told him, I'm having every single delicacy young under the sun. Some things might be kosher. You can come to have the fruits and the nuts. He had every single fruit, every single delicacy, and every single vegetable. You name it, everything, every drink, every wine under the sun. Out of the whole town. Rabbi Dostoy didn't want to be part of this whole scene, but, you know, out of respect, he came right at the beginning of the banquet, and nobody's there, and he sees the balabas, the host, takes his bat, and he's going from table to table. Every table is silver and gold with the most exquisite crystal serving pieces, and the host is going from table to table and smashing everything to smithereens, overturning all the tables. And Rabbi Dostoy is aghast and agape, and the guy comes over and tells him, Well, I went over every single table. We have thousands and thousands of items. Must be a fortune. But I see we're missing macadamia nuts. The guy did not make macadamia nuts. How can I have a party having everything in the world without macadamia nuts? I'm destroying it all. You think I'm crazy? You know what? You Jews, you believe in the world to come. You don't have to take everything in this world. You can take, you don't need everything. But we're goyim. We don't believe in the world to come. And therefore, if we don't get here, when am I going to get it? So tithe is sort of an act of desperation. If we don't get it now, when? Chaperein. Grab the bear. Grab the jewels. Amazing what the guy says. It's a medrash in a few places. On the pasuk of Tzadik Oichel L'Soiv Nafsho, a verse in Mishlei, the Tzadik eats for the satisfaction of the soul, and Bet Rishavim Techsor, but the bellies of the wicked is always empty, because they want everything, and they believe there's only this world, and you got to get it all here, and all now, and if you don't get it now, what do I have? Chaval, wasting my life. The Jew understands, what do you mean waste your life? This life is just preparation for the big banquet in the world to come. The more I don't in this world, of all here in the next world. Yeah. Amazing medrash. He also says the same thing. I'm a leader. I have a legacy for my fourth, my father. Yaakov is Kedusha. Third brother from Esther is not the Kedush that's connected Yaakov. That's Yaakov. Avram is Chesed. Yitzchak is Vura. Yaakov is Kedusha. Kedusha means to separate, to be aloof from this world. This is my legacy. I can't give in over here. I have a reason for life. My raison d'etre. If I betray this, I have no purpose in life. I might as well commit suicide. It's crazy. She'll destroy me. Destroying myself. No way. I'm not giving in to this. I have a sense of universal responsibility. Okay. It's still very nice. Very, very nice. But the fact is, what exactly was the strategy? How did Yosef actually implement this, that Yosef did not give in? You look at this, the Ishes Potifar, it's just a mound of jewels and dazzling, temptatious things. It's just not humanly possible to look at her and not be tempted. So here we have another point. The second point is that the Nefesh, the Ramah, I'll go even for the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, a chance to peek in an English translation or Hebrew of the Mor Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed, and we're all perplexed, only the guide. The last chapter of Mor Nevuchim, Perek Nun Aleph, that's the third part, the third section, Chelek Gimel, Perek Nun Aleph, the Rambam describes at great length what made the Avos great. And Yosef, of course, is carrying on the legacy of the Avos. What made them great was, says the Rambam, Shivisi Adonoylan Negdita Midki Mimi Balemot. The Pasuk in Tillim, I place God before my eyes, and therefore I will never falter. God is always in my right hand. He's always in front of me. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, which means that the Rambam, amazing, our strategy for a holy life is that one should envision before his eyes at all times, Yud Ke Vav Ke, the holy name of God, which we don't pronounce, but we can look at. The letter Yud, if it was the letter He, then the letter Vav, then the letter Hey. Wherever the Avos went, they were shearing their sheep, they were milking their cows. There were shepherds and husbandsmen, they were planting seeds, they were mopping the floor. Wherever the Avos went, and the most also for that matter, they never lost sight of the four-letter name of God. It went before them always. Ram doesn't say this, but the Swan tells us that whenever a tzaddik travels, following in the steps of the Avos, the tzaddik sees these four letters in front of him. He knows exactly where to go. This is his GPS, his global positioning system, his godly positioning system. God's showing him the way. Wherever he sees Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of him, there he goes. And Yosef followed that same legacy. And the Rambam makes a tremendous promise over here. The Rambam makes a tremendous promise. He says, whoever lose sight of God, forget about God for 1 second, and keeps Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of his eyes all the time, he will never be harmed. He will never have any physical or spiritual harm. Don't harm him. He's in the embrace of God. How can anybody harm him? I cannot falter. I cannot falter. says David HaMelech. Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. It's a very simple strategy. You can do it. When I'm in danger, I do it. I should do it all the time. If I did it every second of my life, I'd really be a tzaddik. But whenever I'm in danger, or I feel I might fall, something might happen to me, I envision Yud, K, Vav, K in front of my eyes. And that, I'm sure I can't fall. I cannot falter. Balamot, I will not falter. And that is a person trains himself to have God's name in front of his eyes. Yud, K, Vav, K. It's not enough to be a super tzaddik for this. If you're a wise person, if you become a super tzaddik, if you have God's name in front of your eyes superimposed over everything, then you won't see the stuff you shouldn't be seeing, and you'll see the stuff you should be seeing. It's an amazing, amazing lesson of the Rambam. The Avos could never be harmed because they never stop thinking about God Almighty 24/7, even their sleep. That's how it is, even their sleep. So Yosef HaTzadik carried on the legacy of the Avos. He had the name of God in front of his eyes all the time, wherever he went. And you know, it's interesting. In this week's parsha, we have something else, which is very strange. I didn't see anybody ask this question. But it says that when Yosef was sent out by his father to look after his brothers who were in Shechem, so Yaakov sends him out, he's a shliach mitzvah, and suddenly the Pasuk tells us in chapter 37, Pasuk Tezvah 15, Vayim Tzoeu Ish, a man finds him, Yosef, which is the angel Gabriel, says Rashi, and v'inei toa basada, and Yosef is farblunjit. Toa means he's lost, he's going in circles, he's mixed up, he's confused, he's tzimished. The man asks, what do you want? I'm looking for my brothers. How could this be? How could Yosef be farblunjit? We have an old rule we see in Parshas Vayera that says by Hagar, it says by Hagar in chapter 21, Chof Aleph Yudalit, 21:14, that Avram chases away Hagar and sends her out with Yishmael, her son on her shoulder. And she went and she was going in circles. She was farblunjit. Vatesa means to be, have no idea where you're going, to be tzimished, to be totally discombobulated, mixed up in the desert by Beersheba. And Rashi says, Vatesa, she was farblunjit. Chazra legelulei beis avia. She went back to the idols of her father's house. She was the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the source of idolatry. While she was by Avram, she was a very firm girl. But now, rejected, thrown out. So she's having second thoughts. And she's farblunjit. But what do you see from over here that she became, went to Avodah Zarah? She was from London. She's always going. There's no street signs in the middle of the desert. So the Mepharshim is, what does it mean? That she was went back to Avodah Zarah. It's a long leap from being from London and going to Avodah Zarah. The answer is no. A Yid is Kamelish from London. A Jew is never lost. A Jew never has a sense, where am I? No, wherever you are, that's where God wants you to be. There's something to be done. There's a famous story I'll say very briefly about Rav Gifter, is one of his great mentors, Rav Mordechai Pogromansky, who survived the war in hiding in the Kovno ghetto. After the war, he received a message from somebody in some way out village in Lithuania. His child was just born to Samoel to make a bris mila on his son. He got a Moel from Vilna, and they were on the train. They were so happy to see each other. No, there were hardly any Jews left, and they carved, sure enough. So Reb Motl and this Yid from Vilna, the Moel, were talking and learning on the train. And suddenly, the Moel realized, 1 second, he's gone too far. We missed our stop. Oi, Reb Motl, Mazen Fablunjit. He said to Reb Motl, we're lost, we're Fablunjit, we're Toya, we're mixed up. What happened? Mazen Fablunjit, we made a big mistake. And Reb Motl calmly tells him, Nain, a Yid is Kamelish Fablunjit. A Jew is never lost. A Jew is never lost. Wherever you are, that's where God put you. It's not Shaykh. That means God put you here. We'll get up to the next station, we'll see. Got the next station in the middle of some hick town. And who's standing at the train station? This little hick, derfala, a Yid, one of the few survivors. He's 2 years and getting off the train. But the Hajj responds to him and says, actually, Yidla, maybe you could tell me where I could find a mile. speak to my son. I have no idea where I can get a moyel. Maybe you can help me. The mother says, no problem. We have a moyel right here. So the moyel from Vilna, the Bris Milah over there in that godforsaken town. And they took the train back, and they went to the other town they were supposed to go in the first place. The truth is that you never fablunged. You think you fablunged. God made you go here. Doesn't mean you fablunged. God directed you. You don't realize it. God put you here because there's a purpose for this. This was very apparent and clear what the purpose is. Yosef never gets fablunged. He's like the others. They see the Shem Havayah in front of them wherever they go. How can say over here he's told by Derech? So the Vaistais, it seems that there's a great lesson over here that ultimately over here, Yosef was here at a crossroads and he wasn't sure. He got a little nervous, you know, he knew there's great danger coming. And Yaakov said to him, you sure you can go? There's a shtickle, the danger. He said, no, I'm not worried. I have no problem with the brothers. I know they hate me, but... And then suddenly, as he was coming closer and closer, suddenly he was overwhelmed by a sense, maybe there's some danger. Maybe I am in danger. Maybe I shouldn't go there. Maybe I should go turn back home. And he was told by Derech, he had doubts. Maybe I don't know what's going to be. I'm fablunged. Is this really my mission? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing right now? I should think about myself first. So it says that Yosef was Toa. He was told of a sudden he was lost in the field. And this Malach says to him, Matavakesh, what are you looking for? He says, you know what? I'm looking for my brothers. I'm going to forget about my own safety. My brothers come first. I'm a leader. A leader is for his people first. All for one and one for all. I'm for my brothers. They come first. I'm a leader. Where are they? I know they have no good of mind, but where are they? And indeed, the man told him where his brothers were. And he found his brothers. So Yosef ordinarily was never fablunged. Yosef was like his father, like his grandfather. He had the shame of eye in front of him. And therefore, when Yosef saw Asia's Potiphar, he said, this is going to destroy me. I see her fangs. I see her claws. She's the antithesis of everything I stand for. She'll rip me to pieces. I wouldn't be a leader. I'll be nothing. And it was so clear to him that she was dangerous that not only did he have the Shema Vaya impressed over her, that's embedded and super embossed on top of all of her beauty, he had the name of God, which is the greatest way to cool down your ardor and desire. But on top of that, he was so sincere that the image of his father Yaakov came to him at that time through the window and said to him, Yosef, Yosef, look at me. And the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says actually that the greatest way to stop any tithe in general for all of us is by conjuring up a picture of our parents on the front of our eyes. That's why the Torah juxtaposes the Parshas Kedoshim right in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Says Imoiv Oviv Tiro, right? Amish, the very first mitzvah Kedoshim, the very first mitzvah Parshas Kedoshim is in Perek Yutes in Vayikra. And the Aruch Haim says, you know why it's here? The first thing is ocean. Because you have Kedusha. You want Kedusha, think about your parents. And this is right after the parish of Arias and parish of Achrimos. Achrimos Kedusha. They have a long list of forbidden relationships. So what's the most potent way not to give in to the desire, not to succumb to the forbidden relationships? Think about your parents. Just think of Yishim of Avitiro. Fear your parents. Murder. You have to be that kind of a parent that can do that for the children. But this is what Yosef had in mind. He saw his father. But ordinarily, all of his life, he had his father's image, and he had the name of his father in heaven, Yud Ke Vav Ke, in front of him all times. Dear friends, there's a lot to talk about, of course. I think very powerful lessons, although they sound very high, but Yosef knew what he wanted. Rav Gifter wants me to say over a story about a very big Orthodox rabbi who's known to be a very big genius. And this Orthodox rabbi said once in public, in Yiddish, he said, I am mekana the Satmar Rav. I am jealous of the Satmar Rav. While er veist vaser vil, he knows what he wants. In ich veist nicht vaser vil, I don't know what I want. I want a lot of different things. I have a lot of things on my agenda. Satmar Rav is only one thing on his agenda. To mekana shem shemayim, rob him, and to keep up the Mesorah Kedosha. If a Mekana the Satmarov Erveis Vaservil, he knows really what he wants, he knows what his priorities are, it's clear. He's not Toek, he's not Fablunjit. I'm Fablunjit. I really don't know exactly what I want. Yosef knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted to bring Kedusha to Mitzrayim. He knew they had to bring the Kedusha there before Klai Yisrael came. He had a sense of mission, a sense of history, a sense of destiny. Every one of us should. Because everything we do wrong has a tremendous effect on our children. If we want to be a role model, our children can look at us and say, oh, how can I sin? Ishima Velviv Tiro, look at my father, what a tzaddik. My father, on his level, is a great tzaddik. My mother is tzaddikus. I have to be kadoshim. I have to be a kadosh. They try hard to be kadoshim. They didn't let me go to places where they don't belong. And you know, Rav Shmuel Alevi Vosner, Moritz de Gemaisa, he had a Talmud who lived in London. And the Talmud had a son getting bar mitzvah. And he bought a ticket to take his son to Rav Shmuel Alevi Vosner to put tefillin on his son the first time in Bnei Brak. And he called his rebbe and told him, I have the tickets ready, I'm coming in a few days. And Rav Vosner says, you coming in a few days? I'm sorry, I can't take a chrayas. You know, going to Heathrow Airport is not so simple. There's lots of priests there. And you come into Ben Gurion Airport, there's lots of priests also. No. I would advise you, you're doing a better thing for your son to tell him to stay home and not put himself in danger of ruining his Kiddush Sinayim in these open airports with the women that are there and all the advertisements that are there. Don't do it. But what's with the tickets? What's with the tickets? So you say, you know what? Take the tickets you bought. You paid good money. True. You take the tickets, you frame them, and you hang it up in your living room. And you tell your son, whenever you look at these tickets, which we wasted, and by not coming, you'll know how important Kedusha Deinayim is. These tickets were not wasted. These tickets were Kedusha tasted. We've learned a great lesson in Kedusha, that Kedusha is more important than, to put on your film, the Kedusha Tara is more important than going to serve Debbie. Don't not doing your child a favor if you will expose them where he shouldn't be exposed. Moirdik. Yosef understood this. Yosef had this in mind all the time, had a sense of what's really important in life. Kedusha is important, not to fablunge ourselves, and to have Shem Shemai in front of us all the time. These are some of the great lessons from this week's Parsha Vayeshev. May the Rebbe Shalom give us the Yad to the Shemaya to continue with these lessons and grow from them. And you're all very, very fortunate that you have such a great Rebbe like David Chaim, who's so into this. He's so spiritual. He mamish this whole subject of the 12 steps and the big book. There's so much Kedusha and Tahara. It's amazing, amazing. What does God want from me now? This whole idea that a Yid asks themselves every second, what does God want from me now? It's such an exciting idea. This is Yiddishkeit. This is mamish basic Yiddishkeit 101. Trechem, that you're part of this chevra, and you should continue to go higher and higher and prepare yourselves for the most glorious, glorious experiences in this world and the world to come. Kol tov.
Kol tov, Rabbi Freuer. Wow. Thank you very much for great insights and addition. Certainly, I got what to say over the Shabbos table. The whole story of Yosef has always intrigued me. So a big yashar koach to you. Really appreciate your inspiration here. And your bracha is very important to us. I'd like to open it up to questions now to the Hevra. If you have a question, you can hit your star 6 if you're muted. If you're not muted, you can go ahead and ask your question. What I'll do now for the sensitivities of the anonymity and so on, since I just recorded this this year, I'm going to turn off the recording. Hold on, gentlemen.